Let me tell you about a product that I am using personally, and I really think this works. You know, beetroot juice has been used by Olympic athletes for its stamina-boosting effects, and studies show that it can increase athletic performance and stamina by 16%. So call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com, and you can get a 30-day supply free of this great product. It comes with your first order, and it's backed by a money-back guarantee. 800-738-2198. Welcome back to this week's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And a reminder that Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin is available for consultations wherever you live across the world. If you come to see me, well, I got to see you in person because as a medical doctor, I'm committed to doing a full intake and examination. But if you have a medical problem wherever you are across the country or around the world, you can dial in to Layla for consultation, provide her with copies of your medical records and or tests, and she'll weigh in on your health concerns. That's going to become your motto, Layla weighs in. We'll trademark that pretty soon. And so that's an option that you can pursue if you want to access some of the expertise that we share with you each week here on Q&A with Layla, or on Layla's individual podcast, which we put up weekly on Fridays at drhoffman.com. So we have a question about Mittelschmerz.
Mittelschmerz.
Right.
This comes from Christina.
Okay,
and
so
Christina
so
wants
is,
to know, yes,
go, well,
are there any
pose the question. Yeah, go ahead.
Are there any supplements or other recommendations you have for mitigating Mittelschmerz? I experience, so for those who don't know, it's painful ovulation.
Right.
That's what that is.
Okay.
I experience this problem about once every 3 months or so. It's on the lower side of my abdomen. It's dull and cramp-like. I don't have any nausea or any bleeding or spotting, but the pain is significant enough to cause me to limp around for a few hours until it goes away. Hmm. I'm a very healthy person. I have a healthful lifestyle, diet, exercise, basic supplements, digestive enzymes, lots of fish oil, probiotics, all of that. Well, can I just speak first?
Sure.
I hate to say it, Christina, but sometimes you just need the Advil and a heating pad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I have to say I've not found a very reliable specific treatment for that. Maybe there's something in traditional Chinese medicine like acupuncture, certain herbs.
Mm,
but, you know,
that's a
and
good idea.
A question might arise, you know, why the periodicity of this? You know, why is it every third period? And the reason being is that your ovaries, you know, got two of them, they generate eggs. And, you know, there's sort of a syncopation between one side and the other in terms of sending an egg down the fallopian tubes. And it may be that one side is narrowed. You know, sometimes women have described it as I'm trying to pass a square egg through a round tube. You know, just it's a little bit, you know.
Or somebody stabbed me and didn't take the knife back out. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, look, I mean, this actually sometimes needs attention because Mittelschmerz can sometimes be confused with an ovarian cyst. Where occasionally an ovarian cyst has to be treated. Usually ovarian cysts resolve on their own, but ovarian cysts sometimes can burst, and that can be, you know, dangerous.
That's excruciating.
Yeah, and that's very excruciating. So, I got to say.
First of all, Christina should get it checked out, should insist on an ultrasound, absolutely, just to rule out anything. So that would absolutely be the first way to go. I can't think of anything other than, you know, maybe enzymes, fish oil, all of that, making sure you're not bloated during that period in your cycle, which can also happen. Maybe some additional B-complex to shed any excess water.
Perhaps omega-3 fatty acids that have an anti-inflammatory effect. I mean, these are some things that help menstrual cramps, but menstrual cramps are a different thing than Mittelschmerz.
Right, right. They're a different thing. Mittelschmerz is a whole other, and it could last a few hours. It could last 24 hours.
Can I say something about menstrual cramps? Menstrual cramps appear to be related to what are called prostaglandins. And prostaglandins, actually one of the reasons we really know this is because medications that block prostaglandins, like non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs are pretty effective against menstrual cramps. So that's actually how they work, is they are they interfere with a prostaglandin pathway that promotes inflammation and pain. And so how do you do this naturally? Well, you can take lots of omega-3 fatty acids, because they actually they somewhat block the or alter the pathways of inflammation that are associated with cramps. You can take magnesium. Magnesium is often helpful for smooth muscle. There are certain herbs that can be helpful for this. Some women benefit from Dong Quai, you know, which is traditional Chinese medication. Other women benefit from chasteberry, which is the botanical name is Agnus castus. This can be helpful for some women. And you know, clearly there may be a benefit to acupuncture, traditional Chinese medicine, for this, because they work a lot with female issues, female problems.
Yeah, that sounds like a wonderful idea, actually.
Yeah, or maybe even,
feel better,
know,
Christina.
Maybe, I'm not saying, again, we're talking about menstrual cramps here, not Christina's problem, but even a Myers cocktail, you know, like before you menstruate, you know, like some women can say, hey, I check in for an intravenous magnesium, you know, a couple of days before I know I'm about to have my period, and it helps my cramps. That's because magnesium is an antispasmodic, and you know, part of that cramp, of course, is a spasm of the uterus,
contraction of the uterus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Myers cocktail is actually a wonderful idea, because you are literally then awash in magnesium, and that could just be lovely, actually.
Yeah.
So
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Best of luck, Christina. Okay.
Do we have any questions we can actually answer today?
We're getting a lot of different... I know. But we've got a question.
Look, I mean, we got to call them as we see them. You know, and I think part of a good approach to complementary or alternative medicine is to kind of know, you know, what the possibilities are, and not to treat everything as if it was an alternative medicine home run. You know, although we try to be innovative... sometimes there are no plausible options, and sometimes the conventional options are the better options. So that's the way I practice.
That's true. Yeah. Our next question is from Jim. How can I rid my body of tinea versicolor naturally?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It sounds like a fungus.
Yes. Well, tinea is, it's actually in the translation from Italian. One of my Italian patients told me that it's called fungi di mare, which actually means sea mushrooms. Fungi di mare, which is actually, you know, that means that if you're like a bather's fungus that develops on the skin, it's not like clearly a you know, overgrowth of fungus, but an underlying problem may be some sort of fungal infection that causes depigmentation. So you get like some little white splotches on your skin. It's easily confused with vitiligo, which is another form of loss of pigment. But interestingly, a lot of dermatologists say, oh, get some Celsin Blue, which, by the way, the reason it's blue, Celsin, the shampoo, it's a dandruff shampoo. That's so it means it's antifungal. It's thought that dandruff is treatable with antifungal medication, but a natural way to suppress fungus is with the topical selenium. And selenium is, it's an element, it's blue. It's very blue. So Celsin is blue because it contains actual selenium. So it's, by applying Celsin Blue to those areas, you can sometimes cure that. Or sometimes the dermatologist gives you an antifungal medication, some kind of topical antifungal medication. And then, you know, that leads us to believe that there may be a dietary component. You eat a lot of sugar, you know, you get more predisposed to fungus. You know, the other thing I tell patients who have this condition, I ask them a trick question. I say, how's your hygiene? Do you shower frequently? And sometimes they take umbrage at that. They say, well, of course, you know, I shower, you know, once, at least once a day, sometimes twice a day. And I go, that's too much. Now, I recently, and I'm going to talk about this on my next radio broadcast, somebody wrote an article in New York Times about going for a month without showering and bathing, right? Now, what they did is they were testing out a new topical probiotic, a probiotic that acts as a skin cleanser because it doesn't wash you, but it balances the bacteria on your skin. And so the theory there is that you're when you wash and bathe, and I'm not suggesting people do this, but when you wash and bathe, you take off these protective oils on your skin, and you also upset your skin microbiome. You know, you don't have to have a microbiome in your gastrointestinal tract. There are flora that are natural flora that live on your skin. But if you use like disinfected soap and harsh, you know,
antibacterial
washes,
things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're going to kill off everything. And then maybe, just maybe, you might be more predisposed to things like tinea. And so the person reported at the end of the month, they actually didn't have a lot of BO. They didn't feel unclean. And their skin had sort of a luster because the natural oils returned to their skin. And their hair turned a shade darker because it was full of, you know, the natural oils. Right. It was oily, but it was lustrous because of the natural oil that, you know, you secrete in your hair. So, I don't know. You know, is that going to be the new way to go?
Wow. Wow. You know, I can't imagine
used to be, you know,
for a month.
When I was young, mm-hmm. and I was, you know, during college, I took a year off, and I kind of hit the road as like a backpacker. And I arrived in London, and I stayed in this apartment, this really kind of cheap apartment with about, you know, 15 other people. And uh-huh. in those days, England was a little primitive. It was still, you know, it was the 60s, but they were still recovering from World War II, it seemed. They had a really rough patch economically. And each apartment had this meter where you had to throw in, I don't know, a shilling or something like that to get a little bit of water for a shower, literally. And none of us had any money. So this is like, hey, you know, how many people can we get under the shower nozzle, you know, for a shilling? You know, and it was sort of an experiment in shall we say, lack of hygiene. But, yeah, maybe there's something to it.
Wow. 15 people, though. That's
Don't get any eyes. You can't get 15 people under a little shower head in an English flat. But, you know, we were roughing it in those days.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. And I hear the water pressure isn't much better.
No.
So, let alone the...
It's just a trickle, trickle of lukewarm water. But things are better in the UK, so...
For the tinea versicolor, though, would you... You know, any natural antifungals that you think would work?
Well, it could olive be, you leaf. Know, some of the... Yeah, exactly. You know, people could possibly take olive leaf. That's one of my favorite natural antifungals. Yeah. You know, topical oregano, although you smell like a chest of drawers. Or you actually smell like a pizza.
There's olive leaf soap.
Right. Olive leaf soap, which we use.
Mm-hmm. But again, don't overbathe.
Mm. Yeah, because, the other thing is, you can't tell people to overbathe, not to overbathe, because people like to keep clean, but dry yourself off, especially in the summer, and I tell people, you know, okay, fine, you know, shower, but then get out the hairdryer, because, you know, you're in a big hurry, you know, your skin is still wet, you go outside, it's 90 degrees, it's humid, so your skin's wet all day. That's not good.
Yeah,
that actually is a predisposing factor to tinea,
and especially if it's somebody with a lot of body hair. Yeah,
yes,
blow drying
which,
is probably
which,
a great idea,
which captures a lot of moisture. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jim. Thank you for your question. Okay, we've got another question here. Let's see, an email. I don't have a name. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I recently purchased Reg Active Detox because I take medicine. I thought it would be the best choice of the three versions. However, I noticed that there's milk thistle in this product.
Mm-hmm.
Is milk thistle safe to take with my blood pressure medication, Diavan, Bistolic, and Crestor, Zetia, and Niaspan?
Great. Well, that's a good question.
Milk thistle, I noted in one of my PDRs, may interfere with Lipitor.
Okay.
But that's not been proven.
Right.
Actually.
And how that works is it's kind of the reverse of the grapefruit effect. The grapefruit effect amplifies the effects of medications, I believe. And milk thistle sort of accelerates. It detoxifies you, but it also may, by detoxifying you, it may speed the metabolism of certain medications, get them out of your system faster. So, you know, probably the amount of milk thistle in that product is not going to, you know, throw this person for a loop, you know, unless they notice that from month to month, you know, whether they use RegActive or not, that their cholesterol changes. on the same dose of Lipitor. By the way, I'm not a big fan of Lipitor and Niaspan. I'm not sure that Niaspan adds much more in light of some recent studies that suggest that niacin, while it lowers cholesterol, it may not do the trick in terms of cardiovascular protection. That's, you know, some of the new think on niacin. I used to be a big fan of niacin. I'm less of a fan in light of some of these studies.
That was a big deal several years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So,
Does the answer is, if you're really concerned about it, switch to the other two, one of the other two, switch to the cardio version of that, because I think there's a cardio regactive, is there not? There are three versions of it. Yeah. And so that would
be a probiotic one, yeah.
Yeah, well, there are probiotics. Well, let's explain what regactive is. Regactive is made by the same company that makes Dr. Ahira's essential formula, and which is a great probiotic, but this one's different. This one is a patented probiotic which generates glutathione. And it's actually a discovery that was made, I think, in Estonia, one of those Baltic countries, where scientists discovered that, I guess they make a lot of yogurt there or something, they have good microbiology. They discovered that a certain bacteria has the ability to synthesize glutathione. We know that bacteria in our intestinal tract synthesize certain compounds. They synthesize B vitamins, for example, folic acid or folate. They synthesize vitamin K, for example. That's actually an important way of getting vitamin K, is from the bacteria in your intestinal tract.
And so
certain bacteria, that turns out, synthesize glutathione. They make glutathione. And so what they did is they isolated this bacteria. They now make it as a probiotic. And there's three different versions. I forget what each of them are, but we did a podcast on that. It's available. It's called REG Active ACTIV.
And the cardiac one, I do forget the third one.
Right. So I think there's a cardiac one, and that might be appropriate for this person. This person's already taking medication to lower the cholesterol. So so that, I think, would be a good concept.
Okay. Thank you for your question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got one from Chris. Good afternoon. I'm a 62-year-old female, non-smoker, non-drinker, practice yoga, drink a lot of water, about 60 ounces daily. I have mitral valve prolapse, and I take Armour Thyroid, and I have low blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And this low blood pressure is causing me dizziness, weakness, shortness of breath.
Okay, well, this is...
anything I could take for that?
This is a big problem among patients who have mitral valve prolapse. They're weak and dizzy often. They often have what's called autonomic instability, so that, blood pressure, jumps around. It's too high, it's too low. They have palpitations at times. They, put the pedal on the metal and try and get up and go, and they feel exhausted, or sometimes when they're trying to relax, they feel hyper. And, so some of this may be the effect of the thyroid, that there may be too much, too little, I don't know. At times, Armour Thyroid creates sensitivity, causes some patients to feel dizzy or woozy, especially if they have mitral valve prolapse. I've written a whole book on mitral valve prolapse, so check it out. You can go to drhoffman.com and look at my publications. There's also a nice article on mitral valve prolapse there. And I think it was last week or the week before we read a letter from someone in some Far Eastern country who was...
Macedonia.
Macedonia, right, who was a big fan of that article, really gained insight from that. So what do you do for that type of low blood pressure? Well, one of the problems is this person is dutifully drinking a lot of water. That may cause them to... It's good to maintain volume, but you may actually need more sodium to keep your blood pressure up. So along with the water, judicious intake of salty foods, that would be good.
Nice salty broth.
Right.
A nice salty broth.
Yeah.
Is generally a good idea. When people go to like the blood center to give blood and all that, and then afterwards they're given things like cookies or orange juice or apple juice or something, they should be giving them all a nice salty broth.
Yes, yes, exactly.
To pump up the volume on their blood pressure once again.
Exactly. And so we also recommend, of course, sea salt as opposed to refined salt. That gives you more of a balance of minerals when you get your sodium replacement.
Licorice? Maybe licorice?
In some cases, licorice. We have to be careful. People have high blood pressure, but licorice will raise the blood pressure. And ultimately, there are certain medications that raise the blood pressure that we sometimes have to give. They work via the adrenal glands to keep blood pressure up, which may seem like crazy, but you know, 95% of people with abnormal blood pressure have high blood pressure, but there's about 5%, a significant percentage, who have very stubbornly low blood pressure, which causes them a lot of uncomfortable symptoms. And, you know, there's a fix for that, too.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I'll just say that that's all the time that we have for questions today. Do you have any final observations for today?
Yeah. Chris, thank you for your question. Have a nice salty broth. Don't be afraid of salt, and don't overdo the water, and certainly check in with your doctor.
Indeed.
To make sure all of that is going well.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for joining us today, Leila. And remember that many of the products that we talk about here on Intelligent Medicine are available at drhoffman.com. Check it out, because we've got a supplement store. We stock the highest quality products, and our prices are reasonable. We have a price guarantee. If you find a product elsewhere for cheaper, we'll match the price. And that's also a good way to both support your own health and to support the continuation of these podcasts.
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Leila. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thanks for joining us.